As we begin the 12th chapter of Judges, we have the story of the unreasonable displeasure that the men of Ephraim had against Jephthah. Now, we need to realize that Jephthah was of the tribe of Manasseh on the other side of Jordan. And of course, Manasseh and Ephraim were closer kin than any of the other two tribes, they being brothers, the son of Joseph. And we saw how Ephraim had this very same quarrel with Gideon after he defeated the Midianites. And of course, Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh on the same side of Jordan that Ephraim was located. So there's rivalry between the brothers. Ephraim, since Jacob crossed his hands in giving the blessing, Ephraim received the blessing of the first son. And this blessing was to be ultimately fulfilled when they would lead the 10 tribes in their revolt and be the leader of that northern half of the nation. But right now, that hadn't been fully fulfilled. And it seemed that Ephraim just couldn't stand to see Manasseh do anything that would give them glory and honor above the tribe of Ephraim. So they had this quarrel with Gideon. Now they have the quarrel with Jephthah. And they expressed great displeasure with Jephthah because he didn't call them to assist in the battle with the children of Ammon, and consequently then they could not share in the glory and the spoils of that battle. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12, "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and thou didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire." So they not only were making the accusation, but they were giving a threat here. "We're going to burn your house with you in it. We're going to destroy you as a result of this." So this was not just some idle threat, some nuisance that Jephthah was going to have to contend with. They were threatening his life and his home. "We're going to burn your house upon you." "And Jephthah said unto them," verse 2, "I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands." So Jephthah begins to make his defense. And the first thing that he says is that, "I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon." We didn't have time to go through all the niceties of the invitations. We were at a time of dire distress. And this was a very threatening situation to us, and we had to do something about it. "We're at great strife with the children of Ammon. And furthermore, when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands." There was some kind of a call given to Ephraim. At least he states that there was. "And you didn't come forth to make any deliverance. You didn't come forth to fight the battle for us. You seemed very content to let us stay in this state of strife." Verse 3, "And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands." So when I saw that you didn't come forth to give us any assistance, then I took my life in mine hands. That is, I went forth on a very dangerous task, risked my life to do this. It wasn't something for the pleasure of it. It was a very distasteful thing. And as we know, Jephthah did pray to the Lord to assist him, and he made this vow concerning the sacrifice of the first one that would come out to greet him. And it turned out that his daughter was that one, and so he was under great grief even because of that. So it wasn't a pleasurable task for Jephthah at all. And furthermore, he could have said, "It was the tribe of Gideon who made me their leader, who called me to come do this. You didn't call me, and so I was under no obligation to you at all." And so he says, "I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into mine hand." So it really wasn't my doing or your doing. In the last analysis, anyway, it was the Lord who did this. The Lord delivered them into mine hand, and you have no right then to quarrel against me for something that the Lord would have had to have happened. And so he says that, "Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me?" Well, what reason do you have? You don't have any justification whatsoever for coming up to threaten me and fight against me. Remember back when they made this same challenge to Gideon, that Gideon used some real nice words. He used a lot of tact. He told the men of Ephraim how much superior they were to the Manassehites, and he soothed down the ruffled feelings that way. But here, Jephthah is not quite so nice and diplomatic as that. Jephthah gets right to the point. He makes a good defense of himself. He says, "We called you to help and you didn't come. I risked my life. We were in a great strife at this time, and the Lord gave us the victory, and so you have no reason to come over to fight against me." So we find in verse 4, "Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, 'Ye Gileadites are fugitive of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassehites.'" So there was a great battle here. And it seems that one of the things that provoked the battle was that not only did they accuse Jephthah of not asking them to assist in the battle, but they then also made a very disparaging remark about the men of Manasseh. They said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassehites. You're fugitives. That is, you're not really a true honorable people. You're not somebody who's established a tribe that has any reason to have honor and dignity, but you're simply fugitives. You didn't have the backbone that it took to go on into the true land of Canaan and to settle there like you should have, but you stayed outside the camp, so to speak, and you became fugitives from the rest of us by settling over here. Now, that was really a bad thing for them to say, for we find that the people of Gilead had just as much honor and dignity as anybody else. They settled this land by having Moses to deem that they could have it. And one of the stipulations of having the land in the first place was that they would go on over, cross Jordan with the rest, and help them to defend and conquer that land, which they did do. They carried out every part of the bargain that they were supposed to carry out. So this was a very bad accusation to make. And you can see it just like brother fighting against brother, calling bad names when they shouldn't have, and accusing them of things they shouldn't have accused them of. And that's the way it is. The brothers who really are closest kin, sometimes when one becomes offended, they're the most difficult then to win back. So as a result of this, they had a great battle. And one of the ways that Jephthah conquered them was, verse 5, "And the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when these Ephraimites which were escaped said, 'Let me go over,' that the men of Gilead said unto them, 'Art thou an Ephraimite?' If he said, 'Nay,' then they said unto him, 'Say now, Shibboleth.' And he said, 'Sibboleth.' For he could not frame to pronounce it right." So the men of Jephthah, the men of Gilead, knew this Jordan River probably better than the Ephraimites, so they took over the fords or the crossings of the river. And whenever the Ephraimites would attempt to escape and get to the river to try to escape, they were guarding these crossings, and so they would determine whether or not they were an Ephraimite or a Gileadite, and they would ask them the question, and if they said, "No, I'm not an Ephraimite," then they would put them to a test. It seems that the Ephraimites had a flaw in their speech, and they could not pronounce the SH. They pronounced SH like it was a plain S. And so when they would ask them to pronounce this word Shibboleth, they would pronounce it Sibboleth. The word Shibboleth means a river or a stream, so then they would ask them to pronounce this word for river or stream. The Ephraimites had a peculiarity in pronunciation. They couldn't pronounce that SH properly, and so they gave themselves away. Their speech did betray them, like Peter when he had denied Christ, and they accused him of being a Galilean and said, "Thy speech doth betray thee." So there was a little test that they put them to. There was a peculiarity of the Ephraimites. They couldn't pronounce this word right, so they would ask him to pronounce it, and when he said Shibboleth, which branded him as being an Ephraimite, for he could not frame to pronounce it right, then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan. So they were able to identify the Ephraimites when they came to cross over, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So 42,000 men fell The rebellion of the Ephraimites was put down. There was a terrible slaughter, 42,000 men, but it was a result of their pride and their needless quarrel with Jephthah and their brother tribe Manasseh. Now let us notice the righteousness of God and the punishment of these proud and passionate people from Ephraim. First of all, they were proud of the honor of their tribe. They gloried in this. They were Ephraimites. They were superior to anybody else. But before this thing was over, they were denying that they were from the tribe of Ephraim. Better any tribe than to be of the tribe of Ephraim. And once discovered to be an Ephraimite, they were put to death. They'd gone over in righteous indignation and in a rage over the Jordan River into the area of Gilead. They were going to burn down Jephthah's house with him in it. And now they were sneaking back across the river trying to secretly save their lives. They were quick to ridicule the Manassehites and call them inferior, but they were unable to pronounce the word Shibboleth, and consequently this led then to their identification as being the offender, and they were put to death. They'd called the Gileadites unjustly fugitives, and now really they themselves had become fugitives. For in verse 5, the word there that is used for escaped really is the same word that's used for fugitive. So they themselves were fugitives in this event, and consequently the tables were turned on them completely. They were routed, they were put to death, and this all seems to be the result of their pride and their unjust outburst against Jephthah. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.